welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the end that's week from the Bagel Tech Network. No, I got that wrong. Sorry, it's the weekend show from the Bagel Tech Network. Here on Friday nights, talking all things tech that's happened during the week. Do you want to hear it again? Because there's not been much, it has to be said. Joining me this week, some of the usual crew, plus a new addition. Top left, we've got, apparently that says Dane Golden. It's not supposed to say Dane Golden, it's supposed to say James Hart.
Hey.
Oh, God, we're slick.
That calm.
James Hart. Dane. James Hart, Syzygy at Syzygy on Twitter. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I've just been, this week I've been mainly being trained in Windows 2, Server 2008. So now I can destroy almost all of Microsoft's fine server products.
Do they know that Server 2008 is 3 years out of date?
It's the only one they're doing. It's the latest one they're doing at the moment, so we might as well stick with that.
Okay, bad luck. You're still using IE6, I take it?
No, actually, IE7.
Oh, enormous.
We move fast.
Enormous leap forwards.
Amazing. And it doesn't work.
No, but then again, it's a Microsoft product, so why would it?
Mm.
Next to him, we've got Mr. Carl Swagger running Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Swagger, Philippines University, reading Ubuntu. How's the week been in the Philippines, mate?
Let's see. Monday was Monday, and the rest of the week, lightning strike, lost the server, killed the Windows machine, got the Windows machine redone, said screw Windows, put Ubuntu on it, and here I am.
Good man. And loving it all the more.
Loving it, yes. I'm loving it so much.
What's good about the new Ubuntu?
It's free.
Okay, good man. There we go. Sorted. And also, temperature-wise, pretty good, 4 a.m.?
Yeah, let's see. We're running at 28 Celsius right now. Heat index is 33 Celsius. We've got partly cloudy skies with expected high today of 412.
The sweat box. Thanks, mate.
Yes.
Below him, we got new boy, Ian Grant. Still got a shine on him. We'll knock that off him before he disappears tonight, that's for sure. How you doing, mate?
I'm great, thank you very much.
A sysadmin at an insurance firm. I'm sure you have got some stories to tell us about insurance at the moment.
It's really, really boring, honestly.
Jolly good.
You would not believe how dull it is. But we do all sorts of interesting things to do with encryption and stuff, because we've got the local financial services authority now making sure that everything that we send is encrypted and things. So I have fun and games with that kind of stuff. And like James, I'm about to do some 2008 R2 courses myself soon, so that'll be interesting. Been fiddling around sort of amateur-like for the most part.
Jolly
but
good.
But now I'm actually going to do the proper Microsoft training.
I'd ask you why my insurance has doubled this year, but I'm afraid I don't want the answer, so there we go, we'll move on. Last but my name is least, Mr. Eric Lanigan from California. How you doing, mate?
I'm great, Ewan, and proud to be one of only two people on the panel whose title card is actually my real name and not swapped with at least two other people.
I've changed it over now. There we go. It's all sorted. I did it while we were doing the intros. I do apologize.
Much better.
I did change it, but I don't know why it went off. I think I put don't save on. There we go. So, Eric, fantastic tech talk back yesterday.
A marathon, almost 3 hours.
I know. I saw. I listened to most of it. I got to admit, I couldn't last the whole distance. fantastic discussions. Great questions.
Yeah, and if for people out there who may not have heard it yet, the calls do get better as the show goes on, because you know people realize, hey, Windows Weekly isn't on, and they tune in for that, and so everyone starts calling in. But you know, it's tough to I can't like just lop off the first hour of people's calls. So if you stick through the end, it gets better.
I love the dude that comes on and says, "You need to have advertising for this show, Leo."
Yeah. No, some very kind people called in yesterday.
How much did you have to pay him for that? Did Leo listen?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Probably not.
The week in technology, it's been a bit of a boring week. Kindle is selling more e-books than it is selling paper books. That's hardback and paper books combined, but, you know, softbacks combined. What's the word for softbacks?
Paperback.
Thank you. Cheers. Paperbacks.
Deadwood.
Wasn't that Beatles song, Softback Writer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hardcover writer.
PlayStation Network got hacked again, but not as badly, and the shop's not back up till the 24th. We've got a folding AMOLED screen from Samsung, and we've got Sony giving us a coloured, curved e-paper screen, both of which apparently work, but you can't afford them yet because they're still prototypes. iPad 2 cam is not being used on Flickr very much at all, but it is being used on Yahoo's application, and they're now going to let you have iPad to PC chats with video, so very useful if you've got a mistress. And LimeWire has parted with $105 million in settlement for its infringements against the record industry. Apple, however, has done it the proper way and reached agreement. And the porn industry is not as enamored with 3D as we thought they would be. So there we go. If the porn industry doesn't like it, it's flopped before we even start.
Story of my life.
Hello. Porn industry drives everything tech.
Absolutely. Betamax video, Blu-ray, HD DVD. There we go.
The internet.
It's all there. It's all the porn industry that drives it. They're the early adopters of all these kind of techs.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the early adopter stuff's not illegal.
No. I just do news groups now. Don't have to pay for me porn anymore. Right, moving on before I let too much out the bag. The week in tech, what have we got to go talk about? I mean, do you want to talk about the malware attack by any chance on Macs, Eric?
Why not? I haven't talked about it with anyone else yet. It's not like I spent 3 hours talking about it. No, what is your take? And also, I'm curious, I wanted to see, I saw you had Andy Anatko on this morning on the Mac show, but you don't have the audio up yet. What's his take on it, I wonder?
I think the take's kind of similar to what's the realistic view is the fact that, you know, if you're going to click on something, then you got to take your life in your hands. Every link that you click, you run the risk that there is something behind that is not. Thank you. I'll start it, so I'll finish. Is not a good thing to have. Now,
did Andy think it was a turning point, like I was saying yesterday that it was?
No, I didn't get that impression from him at all. No, I thought it was kind of like, you know, this kind of thing has been around for a while. There's been a lot of stuff you can click on and get Mac issues with for quite a while. But the key part of this is the fact that you still have to click on something to get it to function on your computer. The one thing that bothers me, though, about the whole process is that with this Mac Defender issue, it then opens the opportunity for the fact that if you've got a weak link in your network of users, then you've got a big issue. And one of the things that I've done, sensibly, is take my mother away from a computer that's a PC and move her towards a computer that's a Mac. But now using back to my Mac, she and I are linked very easily. Once they get in access to the keychain, then they technically could access my computers.
Ooh.
Very easily. Now I find
all your porn.
Exactly. An entire disk, yeah. 1 terabyte full of it.
Ooh.
But
just a terabyte.
Just a terabyte, yeah. I've cut back a little bit. But the point being there that you know, she is the weak link in my network. She is the weak point that I have now. She's pretty aware. She's okay. But, you know, the visual cue, I mean, that was one of the interesting things that you talked about last night, Eric, that I thought was really good was, you know, look for the clues up to the point that you click this link. And there's a lot of visual clues and kinesthetic clues back there that are telling you that this is not something that you should click. And you've got to heed those. That's the key part of it. But I'm not sure that an 80-year-old woman is going to be able to do that.
Well, people don't read these messages, Ewan. That's the problem. Microsoft have already been through all of this with the don't click stuff. Then you have the absolutely appalling screen goes dim user account control thing in Vista, which kind of got a little bit sorted out in Windows 7. But even then, there are still people clicking on things that shouldn't be clicked. And I think Apple's just going to have to start doing the same sort of thing.
Well, it already does, doesn't it? Surely if anything tries to install, you've still got to go through the whole business of do you want to install this? Put in your password now. So that there's still a point where it's going to prompt you and say, do you want to do this?
Does everyone have a password?
Now fed up of the boxes and just go, yeah, here's my password and just carry on.
I think OS 10 requires you to have a password to administer the system. Whether it makes you put it in constantly is a different question.
Even if you have no password, it still requires that you hit enter on a blank password screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to have a password, but you do have to click the box and say, yes, I agree to do this.
Exactly. So the point is there that there is an action to take to get these things to install, providing that what they're giving you is a DMG file. Now, if what they're giving you is some kind of ability to then have a drive mounted whereby you can drag and drop the item into your applications folder, the security process is entirely bypassed, isn't it?
Yeah, if you just drag and drop something into the applications folder, if you're already running as administrator, it doesn't prompt you.
No. So then that's the key part. My mother is running as administrator, and I've had severe thoughts about whether I should make her into an under 7-year-old user.
But you know, this malware has various incarnations, and maybe some are different than others. But do they generally have an installer, or do they just ask you to drag and drop it?
There's installer, from what I understand. You click on it, and then you get effectively a web browser that tells you what it's found, which is complete BS.
Yeah, you do.
And then it says install me and I'll find more, and give us your credit card number.
It's standard ransomware, by the sound of things.
So what happened?
Go ahead, Ian.
I was just saying it sounds like pretty standard ransomware. Typical scenario is the bit of software, dodgy software, runs and goes, oh, look, you've got all these things. Pay me $20 and I'll get rid of them all now.
Mm.
Exactly. Except this one will cost you up to $100, and not to mention that it takes your credit card. Oh, and then some report said that you put in a credit card number, you know, and then it says, oh, that one didn't go through. Try another one. And then it gets up. An AppleCare report support representative said some guy got up to 5 credit cards he had entered, which is really sad.
Isn't that one of the key points is the fact that this piece of software, if you're talking about social engineering and why people make the click, you know, it's porn, it's greed, it's all those kind of things. This one's actually socially engineering the process by saying we're actually an expensive piece of software, and the front end that you look at in the web browser looks like an expensive piece of software.
That's right.
These things are linking up. They're connecting.
Right. The interface, it's a beautifully written piece of malware. I mean, it looks just like a very high-end and well-designed piece of Mac software, a Mac utility. It looks like a Drive Genius or a Tech Tool Pro or something. And as does the web page. It looks like, it looks exactly like the kind of page where you would pay $70 plus their lifetime license is 60% discount, you know, for only $79.95. And there's a box to sign me up for the lifetime of premium support for only $19.95 more. And then in the application itself, the malware, it shows you, it gives a little window into the running processes on your Mac, just like how Activity Monitor does. That's real. It has that part works. So it's half functional, you know, that helps to fool people. And it has this huge about screen that has these three paragraphs of you know, like ad copy saying about Mac Defender version 2.6 unregistered. Mac Defender is the most advanced virus and malware detection system in the world because it has the largest virus database among all other antivirus systems. It can detect and remove from your computer almost all known dangerous software. And it goes on and on and on about this for three paragraphs. No major grammatical errors. I mean, the casual user who's not even going to sit and read all that stuff is going to say, well, I guess this thing is legit. And I have some thoughts on why I think on why I don't blame the users and why I think this is a major, major turning point in the history of how Apple handles malware. But you and I saw just before the show, you posted a blog post saying essentially, hey, if you click it, you have only to blame but yourself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's the key part, is the fact that the social responsibility of your action is something that people cannot get away from. And there was an interesting comment today, because I sat on the Mac show and I said, look, if you're a Mac user and you click a link that doesn't look, you know, that looks like this thing is giving you, you should be a Windows user. If you're a genuine Mac fanboy and you click on this, then you really are dumb for not running something that's free and available to you, easily to use, that doesn't hog your system. These potentials are coming. Are you going to wait till you fall down the stairs before you hold the handrail? And that's my point, is that people always wait for the failure before they take the precaution. And the idea of a precaution is it's a precaution. It's before you really screw everything up. And people aren't doing that. And to a certain degree, you know, the people that sat on the Mac Show panel with me today are the dinosaurs who are lulling others into a false sense of security, because there is not that safety there anymore. And if you're going to wait until you get an infection before you install some antivirus, you know, you could be too late. And everyone say, ah, well, you know, but my credit card's insured. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing credit card companies start saying, you really clicked that? You know, that could be a turning
point. I don't know how that works. I saw one site that suggested that it is possible to get a charge removed, reversed, you know, refunded to you if it was a fraudulent thing. And yet I'm a little bit skeptical because the user voluntarily gives them the money and hands everything over, all their CVV code and address and zip code and the full number and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, is James still there? I saw disconnected.
Yes, it's all right.
Well, okay. So let me give you my take on this. And I'll try to be as concise as possible. So I actually have a great deal of sympathy for the users who get hit by this. I also have a great deal of concern for how Apple is handling this, which I think they're doing it wrongly. And I think they're going to have to change how they handle not just this malware, but really their entire marketing strategy or how they marketing and support strategy for malware and viruses in the future. The reason is this virus, this Trojan malware, whatever you want to call it, it looks exactly, it's the first time that something really legitimately mimics the Mac interface. What happens is users click on it and they do a Google image search. This is one common way to reach this malware. It's a simple Google image search for it could be anything. And if the image, which could be high up on the search results, goes to an infected web server where the virus has taken over and generated these false Google pages based on the popular Google search terms of the moment and so forth, and the Google autocomplete that makes these fake pages, simply by going to those sites, you get, no matter what platform you're on and no matter what web browser, you get a screen that looks like it's your operating system telling you that this is a problem. So on Windows, you can get a screen that looks just like Windows Explorer. If you're on Windows and Chrome, you get a screen that looks just like Google's very unique looking Chrome security alert.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Mac now, for the first time ever, you get an alert that looks just like the Mac OS X Finder. And all the windows look just like the Finder. And it says you've got this problem. It spoofs it into people into thinking that it comes from Apple. You know, sometimes some of the variants actually call it Apple Security Center or some variation on that. And people have been, especially novice users who are told to get a Mac often because they don't require, you know, they don't get viruses, right? And they don't have a steep learning curve and on and on. And so they think they're much more easily fooled into thinking that this is Apple doing it or something that really is bad because it's the first time that this has happened. No one's heard of this happening before. What do you think so far? Because then I'll tell you the part two.
Can I play devil's avocado at this point?
Yeah.
Go, man.
Just a very quick one. This has happened to every Windows user once. One time they've had their computer either
at least
compromised, mullered, or completely destroyed by a piece of malware. Aren't we just going through the same evolution again, where it's just going to, you know, people are going to realize ultimately that this is, you know, this is happening to Macs now. And it's part of the evolution of the operating system.
That's exactly it.
I mean, it is.
That's the key point that was made the other week when we had the security show with
you. And you're very quiet, by the way. You any chance you could turn your mic up a bit?
No.
Okay.
But is that really devil's advocate, though, James? Because I mean, I agree with that.
Okay. No, but okay. You didn't agree with it a few weeks ago.
Well, no. It sounded like you were saying what I was saying, which is that this is a natural, inevitable turning point. But my point is that it is a turning point where now Mac users will have to be educated and trained and told how to use and avoid malware infections. Because before,
but it's not Apple's problem. I don't believe it's Apple's problem. I believe it is just a complete, it's a natural evolution of complacency.
Okay, yeah. Well, that brings me to my next point, because I actually found this after Tech Talk back yesterday. I really wish I had found this yesterday. So first of all, for another bit of background, this is absolutely without a doubt the the first major in the wild attack that is affecting hundreds, if not thousands, of users. Never happened before. The closest thing that ever came was that iWork Trojan that came with people who had to actively pirate and torrent iWork. So that was already a subset of people, probably pretty knowledgeable people. And the Trojan itself was inert. It set it up for a potential botnet, but then actually nothing came of it. And it was, you could run a removal tool. Didn't take anyone's money, didn't cause any harm at all. So proof of concept, it happened, but nothing bad happened. This is actually biting a lot of people. Ars Technica did a feature about this. Ed Bott at ZDNet did an investigation about this. He found as of a few days ago, hundreds of instances on Apple, on support.apple.com, with people who've had this. Just on the phone, just randomly, I've talked to two people who said, hey, you know what? Since you said what that is, where people are getting porn pop-ups on their Mac in the last few days, yeah, I do know someone who's had that. And they didn't know what it was. And now we know that the porn pop-ups are coercion to try to get people to buy this fake software because it makes them think that they have a Trojan that's causing the porn pop-ups. Even though their model is different, they're not making money off the pop-ups. They're making money off of selling this fake program and stealing your credit card. So, let's see what else. Three or four people a day are coming into certain Apple stores with this problem. And supposedly over 50% of the call volume right now on Apple's, Apple Care phone support is with people who have this problem or seem like they do. So this is without a doubt the biggest and first attack that has actually hit a lot of people in the wild. Now, the reason I think that Apple has a lot to be blamed with here and does have to change their response to how they deal with this is because right now their policy is when people call up, they say, we can't help you with that. We don't help you fix malware. We recommend you buy Norton or buy McAfee, you know, expensive programs, and they won't help you. That's their official
really
line.
Think
and if
that's
they deviate
wrong,
from that, they risk getting fired. Although many of the Apple support people are supposedly deviating from that, and certain next level up support staff are kind of turning a deaf ear to those call monitoring and pretending they don't hear that.
Now, hang on a minute, Eric, because one of the points that Andy made today was, you know, when it comes down to it, where's the liability in removing that software? The liability has to rest with the user. If Apple takes it upon themselves to try and remove that malware and damage is further done, that liability then rests with Apple, and they have no liability at this point. There is there is no class action, there is no lawsuit that is going to land Apple in court and is going to say that Apple is liable for malware which is placed on at the action and behest of the user. That's never going to happen.
I'm getting there. I've got a quote.
We'll do it a bit faster, dude. And then I want to interrupt.
So Ars Technica found, for one thing, they actually published the email that has been circulating that Apple wrote to their Apple Care employees. And it says, first of all, it says, do not confirm or deny that the software has even been installed. So even if all the indicators are that this is the problem, they can't even tell them about it. Second of all, we know that this malware, this is one, you know, Microsoft can't help people remove malware because there are thousands of these things, if not millions, and they're all different, and they hook deeply into the system. This one, according to all the major antivirus firms who've researched this, seem to just be localized to the .app that sits in your applications folder. It's as simple as force quit and activity monitor and trash the thing. So for Apple to say, no, we're not going to help you do that dead simple and effective removal, we're just going to say we don't know, we're going to throw our hands up and say we don't support that, it's going to make a lot of angry users that is on that makes Apple's customer support look bad and is going to cause a lot of outrage if they're turning away hundreds of people a day like it seems like they might be. But here's what I'm finally getting to. It is Apple's fault that that users think that their Macs are immune to this, because on Apple's webpage, apple.com/y-mac/better-os, safeguard your data by doing nothing. It says, with virtually no effort on your part, macOS 10 defends against viruses and other malicious applications or malware. And reports have been that Apple Store employees are telling their users this, and I've heard a lot of Mac fans say this casually. Oh, it's, you know, the Mac is architecturally superior. Ed Bott said he got a number of emails and comments saying that, and he went on to refute that.
All right, hang on a second, Eric. Ian, come back on that. You've got a point there.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the Mac is architecturally superior. You've still got to install this thing regardless. It's still not like any of the Windows ones I've seen lately. I mean, a lot of those are far more sort of aggressive in terms of, if you're saying all the application does is sit in your applications folder and you can force quit and trash it, then it still seems like a storm in a teacup compared to Windows ones. The latest one I've seen that was great fun to remove, what it did was it hid all the files on the hard drive, just didn't add trip -h basically, to make everything disappear. and you got a nice little box pop up on the screen saying, oh, your machine's been affected, all your files have gone. Enter your credit card details here, the usual sort of malarkey. $30, $50, whatever it was, get your software back. But it's the stuff you said about a Mac still seems fairly harmless and still very baby steps in terms of what we're seeing on the Windows side of things, certainly.
Well, easy to remove is not the same as impossible to get there in the first place. And in fact, while Windows XP prior to Service Pack 2 was extremely vulnerable, a lot of those exploits have been patched up in Vista and Windows 7 to the point that architecturally, the way that they require users' passwords to install certain things and encourage people to run as lower level user privileges, there really is no more architectural superiority to the Mac.
XP doesn't. It still has got as many holes in as a sieve. I've just built an SP3 machine from BaseTax today, and I've hit Windows Update, 61 updates to apply to that machine before it's considered secure.
Well, certainly, yeah,
funky.
I mean,
so
both operating systems have their fair share of security holes. I mean, Ed Bott went through and spent hours going through and found of all the latest Apple software updates, he showed a list of all these horrible, privilege escalation, malicious code, memory randomization, just all these things, the same kind of patches that Windows sees all the time. And yet, don't you guys think that Apple is at least partially, if not majorly responsible for this? Don't you think they give the aura and they give the perception that users don't need to worry about malware when on their website about why you'll love a Mac, that's the name of the page, the two headers right there, safeguard your data by doing nothing, and the next header is download with peace of mind. Does that sound like they're teaching caution?
No, download with peace of mind is definitely a travesty. There is no question that that's wrong.
I think they need to reconsider,
Absolutely. No one's going to argue with that one. Definitely.
I think they've got to now.
Eric. Yeah, absolutely, they have to. You cannot download with certainty, and I don't think you've been able to download with certainty for probably 18 months, as far as Mac's concerned. I think one of the things...
94.
Why 94?
No. Why not? I mean... Okay. To me, that's just false sense of security from the beginning with the internet. The internet's been there. The viruses have been there. I'm not talking about Mac in general. I'm just talking about our own discipline as users.
Has been flawed since 94.
What's that?
Has been flawed since 94. Yeah.
I agree with what Eric is saying. I don't think Apple is responsible that I clicked on that link and that I installed that program. But what Apple is, I would have to say, is from a marketing point of view of how they got most of these users in that realm to think, I'm safe, I'm on a Mac. I mean, all you got to do is look at the Mac panel today. We all still have that sort of thing of like, well, I'm on a Mac, maybe, it's a little bit, but it doesn't affect me that much because, I'm in the Mac sphere. It's not that way anymore. Apple needs to change how they market themselves and realize that because of their popularity, because of people switching over from Windows, that are because of viruses and things, that they are more of a target now, obviously, because of what we're seeing this week. And they need to rethink about how they are actually going to protect their customers because of it. It's like it is one major marketing thing for Apple. It is one major thing that that gets people to switch over. And when you lose that, they've run adverts on it. Lost it.
Mac versus PC, I think it was about the third advert in of Mac versus PC, there was an antivirus message in there. You cannot get virus when you're using a Mac. It was definitely in there.
It's always one of the biggest selling points for a Mac has always been look, you can't get viruses. Mm.
Absolutely. And of course, if you parse the language there and look closely, there are a lot of caveats. Now their webpage says, and I don't know if this ever sounded different. I feel like this maybe used to be worded differently. I mean, not in the last few days. I mean, a few years ago, but it says it doesn't get PC viruses. However, when you go through, I think by saying safeguard your data by doing nothing. And I mean, that right there tells people that is preaching complacency. And it says
download
with peace of mind. Peace of mind doesn't mean only for certain types of files. You have to know, and a lawyer could attack this, that is conveying a certain perception to people that then the salespeople who know even less than Apple copywriters do and how to accurately convey this information to people. Microsoft says, for the love of God, buy an antivirus. And here's a free one that is very good that we wrote ourselves called Microsoft Security Essentials. That is not the way Apple does things. And I think this is going to really blow up in Apple's face as a major PR disaster if they continue to say these things to people on their website and in person. And then if when they call in, they are told to deny it exists and not to help them trash the .app file, the one file that would fix this.
Or I'm not so sure it's going to be a PR disaster. But
it may not, because this is where Apple may be going with their Lion App Store. You don't download anything unless it comes through our App Store policy. If they can, if they can hang on for just a little bit longer and make it so the only thing you can ever put on your Mac is something that they give you, just like you do with the iPhone or the iPad or the iPod Touch.
That won't work.
That takes. There hasn't been, well, yet. There hasn't been a virus for these things yet. What I was going to say,
That will work on the basis, and it was a great point made by MacBits in the chat room at lunchtime when we did the Mac show. He said, you know, if you're going to do that, it's got to be a default configuration that says only install from the Mac App Store, and you've got to physically turn that off. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give the physically turn it off option, the Mac fanboys are all disappearing, because the shareware market, the Mac update market, if you like, you know, of freeware, it is a big part of the culture associated with Mac, surely.
Yeah, you lose the cutting edge in that respect. I was the second point I was going to make, though, is in the meantime, sorry, is someone else going to say something?
Go ahead, James.
The only other thing I was going to say is, now this has started, now that the hackers and the virus writers know that there's an in, It's really, they're going to make a lot of effort, because they know they can do this now, and they know they can get a massive number of people affected.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the other problem with this type of exploit is that...
Go ahead,
sorry,
Eric.
Was someone talking?
Sorry, it was me. I'm just saying, is the Mac market big enough to make the virus writers interested? I've always been of the opinion that we're a small, relatively small fish in a big pond with all these thousands of PCs that they can go at.
Well, exactly. But here's the thing. You know, that argument makes a lot of sense when you're talking about Trojans that install themselves inside of Windows in the background, that run zombie nets and do all kinds of stuff where they take hold of your computer. But in the case of users, end users whipping out their credit card and buying software, Mac users statistically buy so much more software than their Windows counterparts. And if you consider that a person in a corporate network where a corporate, I mean, Windows, that market share of where Macs are like 5% of the market, you know, 80% of that is, corporate enterprise PCs where users don't have their own control over installing or purchasing software for them. On the Mac, the percentage of Mac users who are actively engaged, who download stuff and surf the internet and buy things, buy software, much, much higher. And you could also argue that they might be a little bit more affluent or maybe a little bit more ignorant about how computers work, especially some older people. And so they might even be more inclined to be duped into this type of scam. And it's going to get worse, because this is a major software kit that people are using to write new iterations of this, all of which continue to outstep and outrun antivirus programs. It's almost impossible to detect these types of social engineering exploits heuristically on both Windows and Mac. The only thing you can do is just hope that you don't get bitten before the antivirus definitions come out.
Sorry, we're all having fantastic conversations about this at a technical level, and Will Green in the chat room is writing, "My dog is farting." So even on the big show, he can interfere and stop us. There's a point here. Yeah, to be fair, the chat room's saying, to be fair, this wasn't a virus anyway. No, it was a piece of malware. It's not virus. Virus is a nom de plume, I think, of all malware at the moment. It doesn't make anything. You know, whether you're talking about Trojan or malware at all. One of the things I wanted to make as a point, though, is if you're talking about this kind of into your Mac, the trouble that you have with it is the fact that I do the Daily Show every day. Or every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and I do a video version of that show. Now, I then go to Google Images in order to get images to fit the stories, and I will type in stuff that is actually fairly simple to look for a picture, you know, a bucket, because I want a picture of a bucket. And I get a picture of a bucket up, and when I click on that picture of that bucket, it takes me to some site, and it says, malware exists here. And Google will say, are you really sure you want to go onto this site? Because we've detected malware. Also, then, I'll get an image where I click on it, and it'll take me to something that says, do you want to clean this away? And there's the OK to cancel button. And lo and behold, you know, I can't actually cancel that box. There's nowhere to get rid of the cancellation. It looks wrong. And I immediately go up to force quit to get rid of Google. And I haven't been caught out because of that so far, because it doesn't look right. But it's not porn. Everyone's focusing on the porn. Everyone's focusing on the social engineering and the greed element. And actually, there's stuff coming through from Google Images that's just, I want a picture of, and it's not celebrity with their boobs out. It's not girls with their legs open. It's a picture of a bucket. And I've had that, you know, I want a picture of a bucket to go on the match, to go on the Daily Show. And I click on this thing and it says malware exists, or I click on this thing and it won't let me cancel.
Well, that's just your fault for looking at bucket porn.
Bucket porn. No, you and your big growing exactly market, right. Dude. Don't knock it.
There's a big perception out there that if you don't browse to dangerous sites and don't click on dangerous links, you won't get hit by malware. But this is affecting Windows and Mac users, and even Chrome users on Windows. For as much touted sandboxing, this type of attack is very, very strongly attacks Chrome users. These social engineering attacks, and they go onto sites that Google and end users think are perfectly normal sites, but they've been hacked in the background, and things like their image results page then turns into a malware redirection site. And Ed Bott posted some YouTube videos as well as a little feature article about how this works and how it affects Chrome users even on Windows. And he posted some YouTube videos showing how you know, even in Chrome, which people often consider as the most secure web browser, first of all, it doesn't actually warn you that you're downloading an EXE if it doesn't know what it is. IE9, interestingly, kind of does, has that reputation engine, but still doesn't really give you that big of a warning. But you can't. You're right. You cannot click off of the warning box, off of the pop-up. He showed how you click the white screen in the background. You click what looks like the blank part of the page, and that is a link that triggered the EXE to download.
You're kidding.
No, it's really scary. And that's Chrome. And I mean, who on this panel thought that Chrome could really do that?
Chrome is badging itself as the most secure browser.
Yeah, and they always talk about their unique sandboxing. But, you know, that only affects code exploits, privilege escalations, and so forth. It doesn't affect social engineering like this. And every time there's a new thing, before the definitions go out there, before the antivirus companies write definitions and you download them, before Google becomes aware of it and puts their little warning into the browser, people get hit by this. A lot of people on Windows, and now people on Mac as well. And you can't click out of this. And so the thing you have to tell people is, if you hit a site, you got to tell everyone you know. You say, a web browser cannot determine that you have Trojans or malware or anything. I can't scan your system without you knowing, so don't ever click on it. If you ever get a warning like that, the best thing you can do is force quit the browser. Don't try to click. Even clicking the back button he showed in this video triggered the refresh and the re-download of the EXE.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a question. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, my thought is in this, regardless of what operating system we're running. You know, I know I still have to be, you know, very much aware of where I click and what I'm doing, but I think I picked the best damn week to switch to Ubuntu.
Because?
just because I feel a little bit safe. I mean, I feel like we're talking about Mac, we're talking about this, and we're not talking about Linux systems. Linux systems are actually just as vulnerable. But
right, that's just more security by obscurity.
Windows. We're looking at a popularity contest now. Windows, yes, is still dominant because everybody just uses Windows. I mean, even some Mac users use Windows. Mac is more popular than it used to be, hence the sales of Apple, hence of, you know, getting everybody to switch over.
I think that's the key point. Definitely, Kyle. I mean, if you look at the, you know, everyone's been talking about percentages, but by virtue of the fact that more of the world is buying computers, that percentage actually equates to a significant increase in headcount. And it's the headcount that's important. It's not the percentage. You know, if you say, right, the total quantity of computers sold this year was 10% Apple, and that's an increase on last year from 9%, everyone goes, well, you know, Mac, it's only 10%. Yeah, but hang on, there's an extra 500 million computers were sold this year. Then that 10%, that 9 to 10% becomes an enormous amount of people to hit. Sorry, mate, go ahead.
What, me?
Yeah, you were talking and I interrupted. I do apologize.
No. I'm done. I'm safe. I'm on Ubuntu right now, as long as I don't click on bucket porn.
Exactly. Entirely.
Bucket porn. And the
I think we have a title.
The lady's got hit in our place by looking for Easter pictures for Easter posters. And we ended up sort of shoehorning various bits of dodgy software off their PCs.
And all they were looking for was Easter pictures.
But Easter pictures, yeah. Again, your image search stuff.
Yeah, yeah. See, image search is a big, big part of this. And it's not stuff that's socially engineered. It's just random crap that you click on. And it comes up and it says, there is. One of the, just to finish off the story here, perhaps, if you go to bageltechnews.com and you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see a link there for Sophos. That link will actually take you to the Sophos antivirus for Mac only. It's free of charge if you're a home user. Sophos are giving it away free of charge. It's light. It runs on your system. You don't even know it's there. It updates itself every 2 minutes. And one of the listeners actually wrote in this week. I forwarded the email on to Graham Cluley, who was really grateful, and wrote back to the guy saying that he was a bit of a dissenter. He didn't believe that we really needed it. He was one of the big critics of the episode that we did where we talked about Mac antivirus and the need for it. And he put it on the system just to see. He just thought, I wonder if there's anything on here to catch. He found 80 pieces of virus, Trojan, malware, whatever you want to call it, within his mail folders. Now, it was all Windows stuff. It wasn't Mac virus, but he felt vulnerable that something could even be placed on his computer. Not action, just placed there that was potentially harmful without his knowledge. And it is light, it's easy, and it runs just fine. Have you stuck it on yet, Eric?
I have not, nor do I recommend people begin installing Mac antivirus.
Because?
I'll throw a
follow-up.
On the corporate side of things, we have about 6 Mac Pros, and we all run the Sophos tools on those.
Yep.
And okay, pretty good for what it's worth. The cutters and stickers don't complain about it slowing their machines down.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually attack anything at all. It runs absolutely, absolutely smoothly. It's effortless. It's in the background. You never know it's running.
Still wouldn't put one on my Mac personally, but...
But you've got it on the corporate stuff.
We've got it on the corporate stuff, yeah. We use Sophos as a business.
There you go.
So, I'm surprised to actually hear Eric say what he said, though. So I'm actually surprised to hear you that you hadn't installed any antivirus on the Mac then. So
having watched Talk
Tactics, may I ask why? I'm curious why you're not scared.
Sure. What was you about to say?
I'm having listened to what you said on Tech Talk back yesterday. I would have thought your reaction would be, look, I'm going to try it, and if it really doesn't sap my CPU at all, I'll just go with it, because what's the point of not doing it?
Well, I mean, I know it doesn't zap the CPU, but anytime that you got an antivirus like that running, and again, it's totally possible that the Sophos antivirus does makes very minimal impact, but I have to see it. I've got to see the statistics, the actual objective tests that show that, because I know from, and it's common knowledge that, you know, a lot of Windows antivirus programs cause a significant resource drain. And right now, I don't think that a Mac antivirus program is really going to do you much good. Unless it's just to tell you that that thing exists on your computer, but you would know it does because it's showing you porn pop-ups. So maybe it's good to have an antivirus and only run it if you think that you're infected, or run it like once a month or something. I would not have it running constantly in the background, because it's there are no viruses right now for Mac that can be detected heuristically or even by definitions like that. I mean, yeah, it could stop this one in its tracks, but you already know it's there. You still ultimately have to train the users not to be fooled by fake malware, and not to give things your credit card number. You've got to teach vigilance for things like that.
Not disagree.
Confused against between malware and viruses as being two separate things.
I think there is a confusion.
It's self-discipline. It's self-discipline ultimately in the end.
Line one has got to be the operator. There is no question that the person that's in charge of the mouse has got the ultimate responsibility for that system, and they have to be the first line of defense. However, if you're talking about, let's say you want to go abseiling And you can have a second security line. Now, you're an experienced abseiler. You've never fallen down the face of the building. You've done no end of this stuff, forwards, backwards, upside down, whatever you want to say. Would you ever give up the second line, even knowing your own competence and ability?
Silence is golden.
Were you asking me? I didn't understand the metaphor. Were you saying something sailing?
Abseiling. You know what abseiling is?
No.
Abseiling is where you go down on a rope quickly down the outside of a building.
Oh.
Repelling.
Okay, that's what I know it as.
Okay. So let's say you were competent at repelling down the outside of a building. You know you're really shit hot at it. You're absolutely brilliant. You can definitely do it. There is no question in your own ability. Would you ever give up the second line where there's a person at the top that if things go wrong, they'd be able to catch you?
No, but I'm not really sure that that applies to this, because I can tell you right off that there are two things that have to happen.
No, I'm going to stop you there, because this is exactly the issue. You are talking about being the first line of defense. Everything that's been heard from everyone here tonight is about being the first line of defense. That is reliance on competence of individual. You are relying on your own competence to stop malware, viruses, Trojans getting onto your Mac. If there is a zero effort second line of defense which you can apply, I cannot for the life of me understand any kind of argument where you would not apply it. That really just does not equate in my head. It is exactly the metaphor.
It would be if the software
you're not actually giving up
causes
the
a performance
line, though, are you?
Go ahead, Ian.
You're saying that, but you haven't got the safety line in the beginning, so why are you suddenly giving up the safety line at some point, taking your abseiling metaphor?
So would you ever learn to abseil without a safety line?
Probably not, no, because that's common standard practice if you're abseiling.
So day one, if I took a Mac, if there was
practice with a Mac has always been never to bother with an AV, because nice Mr. Apple tells you you don't need it.
Oh, agreed, exactly. But I've got to say that having had a Windows server for many a year and given it up 8 years ago with 17 Trojans and viruses on it that were detected by Sophos, when I went to Mac, and one of the reasons I actually got rid of that was because A, it was costing me a lot of money to get someone to maintain it for me, but B, I just thought, I really don't want this. I want to go to Mac. I had a license system already in place for Sophos, 5 site licenses. And regardless of that fact, when I moved over to Mac and got away from Windows 8 years ago, I still took all those Sophos licenses with me. And Sophos has done antivirus for Mac for the last 10 years.
Here's my answer. So I'm not religiously opposed to the antivirus on the Mac. There are two things that would have to happen for me to instantly recommend that everyone do this. The first is, if when this had blown up recently, we had learned that that antivirus programs can detect and stop the installation of this malware before the definitions are updated, then I would say, yes, everyone run it. If they can stop it heuristically based on actions, based on probable cause, as opposed to having to wait for definitions for each new iteration of this virus or malware, that would be the first thing that I would say, yes, everyone download this and run it constantly. The second thing is, if we start to see Mac malware, not so much as a social engineering trick like this, but if we start to see a lot of Mac malware that hits a large number of people like this, a significant number, that gets in by way of software exploitation in such a way that the antivirus programs can detect and defend against it, then I would also recommend that. Those things may happen. Next week, I may be saying, yes, everyone download it. But right now, I think the performance hit would outweigh the benefit, because right now it's one piece of malware. And as long as you tell people don't give things your credit card number ever, and if you get this, here's the easy way to uninstall it, I don't think at this point yet it's worth the burden of running a constantly running antivirus app.
So, question in the chat room here, are we saying that Macs are not as vulnerable as Windows for remote code execution?
No.
We're saying they are.
They are.
They absolutely are.
They are, because the guy who wins the Mac every year at the hacking contest usually hacks a Mac, doesn't he? Wins himself an Air every year.
Prone to
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's usually the Macs that get hacked first.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been security by obscurity so far, but we're absolutely as vulnerable on a software level. Let me ask you guys this. Microsoft invests a lot of money and time and makes a very good antivirus and gives it away for free and mm-hmm. maintains it. Do you think Apple should do that?
No.
Why not? It probably gives some engender some confidence to users if now a virus is a malware starting to show up. If they picked up one of the smaller companies, they've got the cash to do it after all.
And so far, the number of Mac malware is one.
There's a lot more.
Probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of viruses and malware and Trojans. Why shouldn't Apple just write into the OS, just say, just check, every time you move something into the applications folder, just check it against a little text file that says, oh, MacDefender.app, that's a bad one. We're going to say no.
I'll tell you why they won't. Because it completely throws away their marketing strategy right now, as it is. That's why they're not helping out a lot of people, because it's almost themselves. They want to deny that there are problems. We've had problems before this. This is probably one of the ones that's been the most, on a global scale, the most problems we've seen in a long time. They don't want to do it because I firmly believe that that is one of their biggest selling points. Regardless if they're going to put it on their website or not, it's already within root in our culture right now that, oh, you got a Mac. Well, you don't get viruses, do you? Oh, no, it's great. That's why I switched.
There's a point in the chat room from Dan, and I'm going to read it out exactly as it's written because I have absolutely no idea what he's saying here because it's way beyond me. And on that note, because Macs use so much BSD code in core system stuff like the network stack, they are just as open to hackers reading the source code and discovering these exploitable scenarios. Therefore, I would state that Mac is more vulnerable than BSD and Linux because on the open source systems, they are patched and much more regularly.
Well, that was the point I was going to make, that don't forget that Microsoft, as part of their security essentials, must have employed a team to do the whatever the antivirus companies do to maintain a repository of the bad stuff that's going on and build on it. Apple makes an operating system. They make hardware. They don't do well, and obviously they patch vulnerabilities, but I don't think it would be in their mindset to have this specific service that's created for the machine. I was trying to think back to when the last major vulnerability happened, and that was in the days before firewalls. But of course, firewalls are now de facto on every system. You naturally have a firewall on because otherwise you can be attacked from all sides. And it's only the maintenance of the thing, the fact that you can't lock everything down and start and sort of poke small holes in it, that make it difficult to apply free of charge as a one-off thing. It needs maintenance.
Anyone?
Let me address what Kyle said, actually, because Kyle, you said that Apple would not make their own anti-malware because admitting weakness. They have to admit something, and they have to do something to remedy it, because because Apple's response. Apple lives and dies on customer service and the perception that their products are immaculate and perfect and wonderful and that Apple is there to save you. I know we all disagree that that's not the case, but that is the case, but that is the general perception that a lot of users have, and that's why they're like this magical company from a PR and brand respect perception. They've got a lot to maintain with this, and one of the things is that Macs are super, super secure and don't require antivirus programs. That's why I think Apple will have to adjust their response to what is apparently a growing Mac malware issue. It's not enough for them to say, we're not even going to confirm that it exists, and we will just tell you we're not going to help you. You have to buy an antivirus program. Thank you, goodbye, and hang up on the paying customer who bought the warranty service and everything, or takes it to the Apple store. I don't think they're going to do that. I think before they were to start
Windows spent 10 years doing that.
Yeah, they did. since they bought, I don't know who they bought, but they did buy a company.
There was a hell of a lot more out there than
Security Essentials.
No. My point is Microsoft never pretended that you didn't need antivirus. They always said, buy and install antivirus protection and run it constantly. Apple, as we've seen by their website, says exactly the opposite. So they can't keep doing that. The only, and that's why I disagree with Kyle that they, that I think for that reason, they would and should make their own anti-malware solution, because if they, anytime you do it in the OS at a low level, at a level that already has the operating system's permissions that can be silently updated with little, we know Apple's good about silently downloading database up file updates in the background, because we've seen them do it on the iPhone now with the location database. You know, they can do that. They can slipstream these little virus updates, you know, hour by hour if necessary. And as long as the malware quantity is in the single digits of apps they have to remove and the removal process is easy, why wouldn't they do what Microsoft does and say, that's a service we think we should provide our users for free?
Because they would be doing what Microsoft does, which is totally what Apple is completely and utterly against. I mean, I agree completely with you, Eric. They should. They definitely should. Will they? No. I don't think they're going to do it this time. I think it's going to take a lot more attacks before they finally get it through their head that, hey, guess what? They're just another operating system. They're just another PC. And I don't think they want to be in that realm yet, because once they say that, yeah, hey, yeah, we've got problems too, they're nothing special anymore except this nice little shiny piece of equipment that we paid for that's, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. And
but
and
Kyle, what are you saying is the alternative response? That they would just plug their ears and say, la, 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 we have no security flaws, there's no malware, la, la, la. I mean, they can't just ignore it, or this is going to really blow up, because the news media loves to jump on Apple for these, malware gate or something.
Eventually they will do that, but there's not enough out there right now for them to do that.
I don't think they are doing that. I think if you look at, you know, you found a piece, a line, if you like, within the system that says that there is, you know, the user that switches has to do nothing. They don't have to do anything in terms of changing configuration, in terms of buying add-on software, in terms of dealing with malware and antivirus. What they need to deal with is the fact of their own actions. And you know, you could take that statement and interpret it very easily as Apple saying, you don't have to go and buy anything extra to protect yourself if you want to take a Mac, because you don't at this point in time. If you feel very sound in your own judgment and ability to click the right thing, there is nothing you have to buy at this point in time. And that's the key part of that. At the certain point, what the point that Dan's making in the chat room, I think, is the fact that there is no reason that there is not executable code that can be put onto your computer without your knowledge, without your say-so, without your authorization, and can rip the guts out from your machine and from you as a person without any kind of authorization from the user.
So you and I, it sounds like you're agreeing with what I am saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're saying that Apple's response has to be something. They can't just say, they can't just pretend it doesn't exist.
I agree.
Their response either has to be start preaching the purchase and execution of antivirus apps, or they build it quietly themselves into the OS in the background for free, slipstream updates, and they continue to say, safeguard your data by doing nothing. Download with peace of mind. Don't buy anything extra. Don't install antivirus because we're doing it for you. I think that's the path they'll take, because that allows them to save the most face and continue to operate as normal and with the Apple will protect us mentality that they have up to this point used as their marketing.
I think they don't have to do anything. What I think they have to do is stop doing something that says that it's not a problem. I agree with you on that point, but I don't think they have to do anything to then go in the other direction. The great point in the chat room from Will. Will Green's here from British Mac. He's saying there's a storm sweeping up the valley. It's rattling the front doors. He finds it very exciting. Absolutely. He's exactly right there. Well done, Will.
Can I just add something very briefly onto what you were saying? If I were to download a possible piece of malware on my iPod Touch or on any Apple iPad iPhone, it would just say, I can't open that. And Apple could very easily do that. So you try and download something, you just say, I can't open it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to do anything with it.
I think on the iPod front and the iPhone front, I think that's very easy to do because it's so tied into the walled garden of iOS. Mm. I think if you look at the Lion front end, even though that's following the iOS principle, I don't think that Apple can walk away from the Mac fanboy who wants to use the shareware and freeware market. And that's where I think.
But they're really the ones who are going to get. They're the ones who are going to get the viruses. They're the ones who are going to be. have circumspect enough to get the protection. Everyone else is just going to go click, doesn't work. Click, doesn't work. Oh, I better go through the App Store. I think it works really well for Apple. And I think that's probably what they're going to do ultimately.
I think Mac...
James, I think you're right. You said it earlier, and it was something I was about to say, which is that Apple's response could very likely be that in the next year or so, they'll lock it down so that, like Android devices, the default is not to allow sideloading of applications if they don't come from the approved OS provided marketplace, the Mac App Store. Yeah. And you'd have to provide, you'd have to flip the on switch or provide individual allowance. And they'd try to convince people only to download things in the Mac App Store where Apple vets the security of them. And where users can be safe, and they may start marketing that as why they are so secure, because already they're doing that with the iOS App Store. Android has had a number of malware that attacked the Android marketplace. That market's only going to get bigger with malware too. Android users will certainly have to start running antivirus software soon. I don't even know how that's going to work, and probably will affect the performance of the phone. But anytime that you have, but all these devices right now are just living by security by obscurity, and they're all vulnerable. And after the first attacks start happening, the companies have to respond in some way.
You know, it's funny, we talk about mobile phones and what Android is going through right now. I mean, by the sound of it, the best phone to get right now would either be a Nokia or a Windows Phone 7, because nobody's buying them.
Well, it's the most obscure, exactly.
Hey, funny enough, gents, guess what I've got here? Windows Phone 7.
And you rate it,
I'm buying a Migo.
Look at it. It's fantastic.
Migo's shit up, mate. That's perfect. Bit more editing this week, but never mind, eh?
Makes me go.
Makes me go. Very good. Have we got any cool thingies? James, have you got a cool thingy for us?
I did. I was linked to this just this week, and I think it's quite cool, and it's not a virus, but it does come from Google. Let me just see if I can find it on my...
Should we come back to you, mate?
All right.
Sorry?
Should we come back to you?
Me?
Sure, do
it. Yes.
What in the wide world of sports going on?
It's all right. Ian stood up. Do you want to come back to you while you find it, or do you want to go?
No, ahead? I found it. Chrome Fastball. It's just a very silly little quick thing. It's free, and basically it's Google showing off how fast Chrome is in a silly little quiz game thing. I've always been very much a big fan of those little machines. I can't remember what they're called. Named after some bloke, anyway. The marbles. That's right. Yes, they're the ones. And this is one of those, except in the middle of them, you've got to do a little Google search, and it's quite funny.
Oh, very
Chrome cool. Fastball.
That's interesting.
YouTube.com/user/Chrome Fastball. All one word.
Thank you very much.
Is it interactive, though, on YouTube? Like it's Flash?
It's an interactive YouTube video. It's very clever.
Interesting.
YouTube's got very good with those kind of clicks, haven't they? And the advertising clicks and stuff. So it's only a matter of time before someone puts some interaction in there, I suppose. But very good. Carl, do you have anything for us?
Yeah, I sure do. I've been talking about it all day. I'm still loving it. I'm still feeling safe.
What is it? What is it, Carl? Again, tell us what it is, Carl.
Bucket porn.
Bucket porn. Look at the handles on that.
Ubuntu 11.04. That is my pick this week. It is what I'm using right now. And it is the best version of Ubuntu yet. What's that?
Is that the Natty Narwhal?
Yeah, that's the Natty Narwhal. Yeah, the lovely... God, they always come up with some really cool names. But the thing, what I'm loving about this one... Because I have a USB sound card here that's supposed to only work on the Mac. It's working just fine on Ubuntu. I have a microphone here that's USB. Again, that's supposed to only be for Windows or Mac. It's working just fine on Ubuntu. Plug and play, mind you. It didn't take anything to really get this thing running. It's just working. The only thing that we found that's not quite right is the 16x9 there for the Logitech C500 camera. But it is working. I'm just in movie
16
format.
16x9 instead of 4x3, yeah. Now, one of the things that's quite interesting is Alex Fox, who's on the photo show with us this morning, has been sitting playing with it. And he's run it as a Parallels installation on his iMac. And one of the things he said was that all of the drivers for Mac, for all Macs, are already present. So if you've got an old G4, there's a good chance you can run the current version of Ubuntu on there as a light installation, and maybe not sap yourself of processing power. It may be a solution for light iOS.
And I have to say, just on one note, Ewan, the Ubuntu Software Center is getting really, really good. I mean, it really does feel like the app store, shall we say, or a Mac app store. You go in, you search for a thing, you just install it right there. And there's a lot in there right now. There's a lot of alternative programs that work really, really good. And I have used one thing on this that is a Windows program, using Wine, and it actually worked pretty well. And it's a little mastering software program from IK Multimedia called T-Rax. And it's working just fine using the emulation of Wine. And I'd say I really am in love with it. I'm almost 80% there. I think I'm going to keep it and actually dump Windows.
Very good. What about audio software?
Well, I've used Audacity on it. The Ardor I've used on this thing. Things like Cubase and all that. No, that's not working, or these kind of things. But there's a lot of great free Audacity's great, you know. And
have you picked Ardor
for Linux yet?
What's that?
Is there a version of Reaper for Linux?
Yeah, there is. There is a Reaper. Yep, for audio editing.
That is a really good sequencer. So yeah, you're in there.
Yeah, you were saying as well this morning that Ardor's actually as good as Cubasis. You're not a million miles away from it.
No. It is fantastic. I was really, really impressed with that. And being free, and it's great. It's also for Mac too, you know. So I actually installed it on both. I do think it actually runs a little bit better though on the Mac than it does on Ubuntu, but it still works really, really well.
Very good. Good pick. Ian, we've kind of jumped this on you a little bit. Have you got a pick for us or not?
Yeah, I've got a pick I can suggest on the sort of subject of support and trying to help people. Really cool tool called TeamViewer. If anyone's used it before, it's a remote support tool, but it works on every platform you can think of: Linux, Mac, Windows. You install a client on your end. You install a client on the other end that person you want to help. Stick a number in. They share your password, and away you go. It's brilliant. TeamViewer.com.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
I've even got a TeamViewer app on my Android phone.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, there's one for the Android phone and the iPod as well.
You can remote control a PC, but you can't remote control your phone.
Excellent. Good choice, mate. Thank you very much. Eric, do you have anything for us?
I do. I found a great little Mac app that's brand new called Mac Defender. It's a cool little antivirus software. They say it's one of the most advanced in the world, and it's very easy to install. They have a free version, but then it's only $60 for a 1-year license, or you can get a lifetime subscription with a 60% discount for only $80, and they just require a credit card number. It installs in your applications folder. It's very light, runs in the background, and it will steal your information.
Excellent, good pick.
Fantastic. Is there a Linux version of that?
There might be. It's also very easy to find. You can find it randomly by going to any old infected website. Do a simple Google image search. Type in bucket, and you'll find it when you search for your lurid bucket porn.
You bastards.
There it is, right there. Bucketporn.com.
You bastards. Thanks, Eric.
Fantastic pick, Eric. I love it.
Love you too. My pick is Puck Billiards on the iPhone. It's the most annoying game I've ever played in my entire life. I cannot stop playing this damn thing. It's basically just you flick and go with your iOS device, and it's billiards. It's blue and red balls, and you got to pop them down in the holes, and it's annoying as hell. So there you go. It's £1.19. So that's what was that, $1.99 now? Maybe it's about $500 actually at the current exchange rate. I could be wrong. Eric, no?
Oh, sorry, I was reading something.
Yeah, never mind. What do I care?
We're not paying attention to you, Ewan.
But no one listens to what I say. My wife doesn't listen to me. What the hell should you like? No, absolutely. Moving on.
Following up with research.
Thank you for joining us. However,
speaking of bucket porn,
we are reliant entirely on our sponsors. And at the moment, our sponsors are UK2.net. They're providing absolutely everything to us. They are stunning, stunning individuals. I had a marketing call with them last week, and they have committed to us for another year. They love having us on, and they say that the number of click-throughs that we're getting through each week off the website is more than enough to keep them happy. So even if you just want to sign into your account, please go to bageltechnews.com, and then you'll see the bottom of the webpage, there's a UK2.net logo. Click on that and go through to their page. If you're an existing customer, just sign in. They're not bothered about that. They just want to see that you're a Bagel Tech listener and that you're clicking through. And also, if you want to buy something, then great, have a look around, because they're great for domain names. At the moment, if you go with a domain name, then you're entered into a draw for an iPad 2, that you could win one. If you go with the co-location services and you use the offer code BAGELTECH, you're going to get your first month free, and you're going to get given an iPad 2 regardless. And if you go for a VPS server and you use the offer code BAGELTECH, you're going to get your first month free again, and you're going to go into a draw for an iPad as well as. So there's lots and lots of stuff to go on with them. UK2 have supported us now for nearly 2 years, and without them, we would be utterly lost. We lost 3 terabytes off the servers last month. And if you look at the other services that are available to us, you know, like Blueberry or Libsyn and that kind of stuff, there's no way in God's earth we could afford the 3 terabytes of data to disappear. We're entirely, utterly and totally in the debt of UK2. So thank you especially to them for looking after us. And please, every time you use that link and every time you support UK2.net, you're supporting us by default. And that means an enormous amount to us, because without them, we'd definitely go under. The other people to thank are Wirecast, because they allow our streaming, because they've given us a version of Wirecast to use. And also, in the next 4 months, through June, July, August and September, we're going to be giving away a version of Wirecast to a lucky listener. There'll be a question, there'll be a forfeit, or there'll be some activity that you have to fulfil in order to gain your copy of Wirecast. But we've got 4 versions to give away with codes, and you'll have a free version to use for yourself. There you go. Starts on June 1st.
I thought you were about to say you're going to give away a free one every day, and I was about to hang up on you and never return.
No, we're giving one a month, that's all. one a day for the next 4 months would be pretty cool. That would be an awful lot. But no, we've only got 4 versions to give away. They've been very generous.
I think Eric would be putting on a lot of silly voices, I think.
They've been very generous, yes. Hi, my name's Eric Lanigan. Can I have my $500 back? Thank you very much.
You'll suddenly get a lot of new listeners with usernames you've never heard of before. They don't seem to have many followers on Twitter.
I've actually got PDFs. They've sent me through some PDF documents, and I have to look on the PDFs have got the codes in there and stuff. So I've got them already. So there we go. I've got the 4 already to give away. Problem is, I'm going to have is when I get to the 4th month, it'll be so far down my inbox list that I won't be able to find the damn PDF to send somebody. But never mind. Where can we get a hold of you? James Hart.
Syzygy on Twitter, SYZYGY. You can read my ramblings from my stretch limousine of a morning.
Yes, very good, mate. Good run the last few weeks, I've noticed.
Oh yeah,
not
pretty
too bad. I got caught up in the bus stuck under the Hanger Lane gyratory a few months back, but
nasty.
My last trip down to Acton last week was pretty good, so it's okay. Kyle, where can we get you, mate?
Well, right now, before the rapture happens, because it's May 21st over here. So until then, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/KyleSwagger, Swagger with 1G only.
Is there a time you're all supposed to die, or is it just, it's not a dawn thing or anything going on? It's just
Australia's still there, so apparently maybe it's 11:59 p.m. the May 21st.
Someone did suggest, actually, that you go out into the high street and you lay down a complete set of clothes as though you were wearing them and walk away and just leave them. As a bit of a spoof, so
it's a bit like planking, except without the you.
You're not in it. Why is planking trending on Twitter? Because it's something to do with some protest or something. Is it in China? Everyone's talking about planking.
Do you know what the planking thing is?
I have no idea. Apart from, I think it's people lying face down, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I think, I don't know if they're protesting or what. I seen something on CNN the other day about some guy that was planking on his balcony and fell off in Australia. And now it's like, oh, we should all be aware of it. Yeah. Don't plank on your balcony 7 stories up.
Your sorry, plank.
My little rant for the day.
Dear, oh dear. Ian, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can find me on Twitter at TLOABOA, which stands for Turn It Off and Back On Again. Because that's going to be HW Gravestone, I think. You'll see the gremlins of a grumpy man finally getting to grips with Twitter.
Jolly good, jolly good. And Eric, finally, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Twitter.com/Eric Lanigan and my own website where I post all my videos as well, ericlanigan.com, where I promise that you will be infected with only the highest quality malware.
Excellent.
E-R-I-K-L-A-N-I-G-A-N.
And the other thing to say as well is listen to Tech Talk Back, because it's a good phone-in show and you can get in via Skype. So even if you're in the UK listening now, it runs, you're 9 a.m., aren't you, on Thursdays? So
yeah, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern.
So that kind of works out about 5 p.m. UK time. So you're mostly going to be home. Go and have a listen to the show. Go to Skype and you can dial in and you can throw some abuse at Eric. You don't have to wait until the chat room here. You'll actually be able to deliver it yourself, rather than just using the second-hand method of me reading it out to him. There you go.
Bring it on!
That's got to be better. Much better.
Oh, it's 12 a.m. Manila time.
12 a.m. Will you be awake, Carl? You will be awake, actually.
I watched it. I know, I actually watched Eric for a little bit on live the other day when he was doing about the Mac thing. It's actually where I, honestly, that's where I really first heard about it. And it was very informative. I really liked the show, actually. I should have dialed
in. Do you get many international callers, Eric?
Actually, yes. Well, I mean, proportionally, maybe not a lot, but more than I initially expected.
9 a.m. Californians are still in bed, mate. Come on.
Yeah.
That made Eric feel wonderful, Ewan.
No, because he's been up at 5 a.m. to do the Mac show. There's nothing wrong with Eric Lanigan. Don't you ever pick on him.
The morning is when people can call in once they're at work, which is unfortunately what happens on the East Coast. I get a lot of people saying they're calling during their lunch break or then it was over and they didn't get to. So, but I think we're going to move back to a nightly time or a nightly show. I'm trying to talk with Leo about doing maybe a nightly show in the new studio, but we'll see. But well, thank you for your endorsement.
That means I won't be there then, mate, because I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to listen to you. Bad enough getting up for Carrie Holtzman's show at 3 a.m. So, join us again next week. We've got Bagel Tech News Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We've also got Bagel Tech Photo at 11 a.m. And if you haven't already done it, join the Flickr group. Go to flickr.com/groups/Bagel Tech Photo, photos with an F, and post some of your pictures up. We've got nearly 30 members now, I think, at the moment. So lots of people are shoving stuff up and there's comments flying around left, right, and center. Bit of Mickey taking. But it's a good little group. It's really, really nice. And the Bagel Tech Photo show is available through the site as well. Mac shows back again on Friday at 1 o'clock. We had Mr. Anat come on today. Great episode. So go and have a listen to that. And also the big show is going to be back at 10 p.m. next week. One thing that is going up next week when Sarah gets back from her holidays in Boston is that we're going to suss out the VIP show, which is all of the stuff that goes on after the shows have finished recording. And maybe you wouldn't want to rest your career on them, as Andy and Atco found out this afternoon and quickly disappeared, very sensibly, I might add, before it got too irreverent. Join us next week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Really appreciate you. And thanks for all the messages and support, and that people say keep going, because you're doing a great job. Because trust me, talking into a microphone every morning at 5 a.m. really does get a bit soul-destroying at times. So those emails just really make an enormous difference. Reviews and that kind of stuff is fabulous. Please keep them coming. Thanks ever so much.
As a fanboy, even when I've got to say, I do love the shows.
Oh, cheers, mate. Thanks very much. That means an awful lot to me.
All right.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
You are the weakest link. Bye-bye.